Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I love this song. Like a stone. So of all the trends that I thought would die after the 1990s, would you be surprised and concerned to know that there has been a resurgence of the tanning bed, particularly among Gen Z?
Don't they have them at local gyms?
We have come full circle.
Planet Fitness, yes, they do.
They are now bringing back the trend after, I think, most of the kids that are our children's age and a little bit older, they all went to the spray tan because it was supposedly, you know, obviously better for you than the UV rays that you're getting in a tanning bed.
Well, spray tan is perfectly harmless. And ask Russ Geller from Friends.
There's a story, super sad, out of the New York Post, where a kid who is just 21 years old has stage 3 advanced melanoma, says he started using tanning beds up to 5 times a week for 18 minutes at a time, a habit he had from the age of 16 that he could not break.
Well, give me a break.
2 surgeries to remove tumors on his lower back and legs were not successful. Mm. And one of the things he says was none of the doctors could figure out how I had such a severe case of terminal melanoma at my young age. And then they said, do you use tanning beds? And he said, oh yeah.
Probably exacerbated the melanoma that was...
Don't you think, like, by there. Now that would be one of those things we look back on in history and go, oh, yeah, that was a bad idea. But they're coming back. Why?
Why were his parents allowing him at the age of 16 to go to a tanning bed? I would never allow my kids to go to a tanning bed.
Then why are they coming back? Do you even know if they're going? I haven't asked my daughters. I know that they spray tan before a dance or before, you know, an event, but... I'm not saying we need to ban those things, but what...
We do not need to ban them.
Okay, then what good comes from that product?
What good comes from cigarettes?
I would put them in the same category.
We're not banning cigarettes, nor perhaps should we.
At age 16, theoretically, you are not allowed to have them. In fact, it's 21 now, isn't it?
That is correct.
How old do you have to be to tan? That's a Logan question.
I'm not sure is there an age limit to it?
I don't know.
I mean, as long as you go, I mean, I can remember being a kid and like you talked about Anytime Fitness. They used to have tanning beds in there. And when I was a kid, I would go to Anytime Fitness with my mom and they would let me go into the tanning bedroom with her. I never actually used it, but... Nobody ever tried to stop me as an 8 or 9 year old kid from walking
into
the tanning
bedroom with your mom, weirdo.
Well, she didn't want him outside by himself.
Yeah, my dad was at work, so she would take me to the gym. She would turn my chair around, put me in the corner, and she'd give me her MP3 player, and she would tan.
Give me 7 minutes,
Logan.
The way
it went, you know, I was just listening to Billy Joel and Pink and, you know, Cyclone by T-Bash with my mom's MP3 player.
A good friend of mine just wrote, the apartment complex where my daughter lived in Lawrence had a tanning bed at the apartment complex in Lawrence.
According to the internet, 30 states currently regulate indoor tanning by minors. 21 restrict access in some way.
Let me look in Kansas and Missouri. That's crazy.
I don't have a problem with an age limit, but I do not want to ban tanning beds.
And perhaps
any more than I want to ban people being able to stand outside in the sun without any sunscreen.
Well, it's a little different. But in Kansas, it is illegal for individuals under 18 to use the tanning bed. I'm going to look in Missouri. So it's 18 in Kansas. It is also illegal under the age of 18 in Missouri.
Okay.
In some places, the minors have to be accompanied by a parent or legal guardian.
This says unless there's written consent for anyone under 17.
And perhaps a cautionary tale like the one you're talking about will convince people to maybe not use these.
Well, but keep in mind, you can still walk outside without sunscreen on and stand in the sun.
It's different.
What is the difference?
I'll look it up. There's a difference.
I just got back from Mexico. That sun is hot down there. There is no difference.
It's pretty much the same temperature everywhere.
Tanning beds are generally considered more dangerous due to a higher intensity of UVA rays and a higher risk of skin cancer. Tanning beds can emit 12 times more UVA light than natural sunlight.
Yeah, which is why you get in for like 5 minutes and you're good for the next week or two. Which is why you need to go with the spray tan.
We are
you
going to look
my
back.
Front twice.
Never turned?
No, I barely even got to 3 Mississippi.
Mississippi?
I said count to 5. Mississippi, Leslie? How bad is it?
Not that bad yet, but it keeps getting darker for the next 4 hours.
So how dark is it going to get?
Oh, you got sprayed with 2 2s and...
I'm a 4?
Yeah, but your back's a 0. You're going to want to even that out.
Really?
You might want to get back in there.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. There's no light on the back wall. How do I know when it's going to start? Hello?
One of the best skits ever on Friends.
It's a good one. You know, in tanning can help folks. It's not exactly tanning. It's UV therapy, you know, folks that have psoriasis and things like that. But if you're going 5 days a week for 20 minutes a time for years.
This also says, Dan, there is no vitamin D benefit. That is an old wives' tale. While some people may think tanning beds can help get them vitamin D, they just emit UVA rays, which does not help you produce vitamin D.
Really?
Nope.
I used to go to the tanning bed before I would go to Mexico for what we call a base
tan.
Put
some Crisco on, maybe?
No, just go in there straight and get a little base tan. That way when you get down to Mexico, you don't burn
right
so easily.
Yeah, okay.
He went 5 days a week, Dana.
I know. Bless his heart. Young people, you know, you want to help protect them from themselves sometimes.
His parents didn't realize he was going to the tanning bed 5 days a week.
I feel like you would be an unnatural shade of bronze.
He's from Wales. Oh,
super unnatural shade of bronze.
Wow.
He's from Wales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not much melanin in the skin up there.
Jeff in Lee's Summit. Jeff, hello.
Jeff.
Hi.
To what Dan said, hey, everybody. To what Dan said, it does alleviate psoriasis. I had psoriasis on my legs. Now, I hold a tan, so I'm not a pale person from Wales, so I can actually tan. But, yeah, you're right. It dries out your skin. It can cause cancer, but I'm not scratching the hell out of my legs with psoriasis.
Dana's scratching the hell out of her legs.
I got some itch cream if you need it, Jeff.
Do not go tanning.
How's that going, by the way? How many medications are you on right now?
I've got through the kitchen sink at these legs.
All of them.
Sean in Shawnee. Hello.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Awesome. I was just saying that, you know, I had a friend who got kicked in the head by a horse, and he died, but we're not banning horses.
And I've known plenty of people to die in car accidents, but we're not banning cars. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just an extreme to say this one person had an incident and we're going to go all the way to the extreme of banning
them. No, I wasn't say ban them, Sean, but I certainly think at younger ages, you know, if we're telling kids they can't smoke until age 21, I don't know why they wouldn't pull this in line with that age when you can get a spray tan actually cheaper and there's no harm done to your skin.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Hold on. There's something different.
I went to that tanning place your wife suggested.
Was that place The Sun?
Oh, and it gets worse.
Oh my God, you can do a duet of Ebony and Ivory all by yourself.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Story here from Channel 5. A Kansas sheriff has a surprising offer for teenagers who decide to celebrate just a little too much. Waubunsee County Sheriff Eric Kirsch and his deputies have busted an underage party in a rural area just west of Topeka. Then they made the teenagers an offer. According to the Post, most of the deputies are combat veterans or veteran law enforcement officers. The message said that they've worked a lot of horrific crimes and simply don't want a bad decision to drive drunk lead to another one on their watch. Yep. So the deputies called the parents of every single underage person at this week's party. Then they waited for the parents to show up. None of the teenagers were cited for MIP, minor in possession. Each got a ride home safely. Then Sheriff Kirsch posted a letter to the teenagers at the party. The deputies involved then posed for a picture with some of the teenagers who attended the party. They don't remember the picture being taken, but it was. But the sheriff said, okay, we've been drinking. You're underage. Don't drive drunk. We'll take you home.
Now, why do I feel like this is going to be controversial? There will be people who say, look, it's prom season, it's graduation season, drinking is going to happen. This is a great idea.
I agree with that.
It gets the kids home safely. They're not all scattering. There are other people who are going to say, well, let's just give them the green light to break the law. But isn't this season specifically, if we looked up like teen MIPs, fatalities, and DUI arrest, do you not think that April and May are going to peak for those
for sure
types of infractions?
Yes. And here's what I would add. You know, I'm 53 years old. I've been at a party back in the day where it was at Bridget Williams' house in Lansing. I remember the Brenninger and I were downstairs on the basement couch drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yep.
And the door opens from upstairs in the kitchen. Cops! Cops! Everybody roaches. Yep. Brenninger and I just sat on the couch. Where am I going to run? I'm in a basement. Where am I going? We just sat there. The cops never came downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, it's like trying to, as my parents would describe it, like trying to hold the ocean back with a broom, right? When you're trying to tell a 16 to 18-year-old kid, hey, don't drink ever, what's the first thing they're going to want to go do?
They're going to want to drink.
They're going to want to drink. They're going to do exactly the opposite of whatever you told them to, because that's how teenagers are, is a good way to stop
that. But Logan and Dana, I would point out that the very same people who are saying, well, you know, that laws are laws and they broke the law, they're a minor in possession of alcohol,
yep,
are the very same people who were at Bridget Williams' house in 1989 scattering like roaches,
yeah,
forgot what it's like to be a kid.
And it scared me to death. I remember after graduation, I went to that field for a very brief amount of time. Remember, I was a rule follower. I did not like the vibe. I thought, oh my God, I'm getting in trouble. When I graduated high school, there's a photo of me and my best friend cheersing with a Miller Lite that our parents let us have in the house. I wasn't a heavy drinker. I wasn't a Boone's Farm drinker. I was like, oh, I don't like this. But I think the majority of kids are scrambling to figure out
where do we go?
Yeah. How do I fit into all this? Where, you know, and so I think parents are in a tough situation. Kids know they're not supposed to be doing it. Law enforcement knows it's out there going on. I know back in our day, we did a lot of stupid things, but one of the things
And you think they don't still do those things?
Oh, I know.
Of course they do.
But you don't want to sound like you're being soft on crime or you're telling the kids to get away with it. Like,
no, but you want to sound like you're being sensible, realistic, and you remember what it's like to be a kid, right?
Yep.
I mean, do you think for one second that at least two of your four didn't go to some country party or didn't go to some friend's house and they were down in the basement drinking Jack Daniels with their Brenninger?
It was probably four of four.
I guarantee you it was. I was trying to be kind. I guarantee you it was four of four.
One of the things I thought when I read this story, well, and also to some extent the tanning bed story, is I am so glad I no longer have kids in high school. Like,
sure,
it stressed me out and I still have great kids.
They've grown and flown.
But it still stresses you out that last two years. I would not go back and do that again for all the tea in China.
Well, and now I'm not worried about the mistakes that my kids will make. What I'm worried about is the mistakes that other kids will make that will impact my children who are now adults. Yep. But to the point of the Waubonsie County Sheriff, good on them. They remember apparently what it was like to be a teenager. And they're out in the country and they pop these kids drinking Boone's Farm and God knows what awful beer, they're probably Schlitz.
Whatever they could get their hands on.
Yeah. Mickey's Big Mouths. And they said, you know what? Pour it out. It was like Triglio and Leavenworth. Officer Triglio, he was the best. May God bless him. Triglio.
You even remember the name of the officer?
Oh, my God. I'll never forget. We were driving down the road. I was drinking a Coors, what was it? Coors Gold or something back in the day. And I was in the back seat of Brenninger's car, and I'm drinking a Coors Gold, and we get popped with the lights from Triglio.
Whoop!
I put that beer between my feet and move my feet underneath the seat, the driver's seat of the car. He comes to the driver's window, and he says, Scott, will you pull out that Coors Gold that you have underneath Mike's seat? He knew exactly what I was drinking and where it was.
Yeah, I wish I would have had one of these officers as a 19-year-old kid going to school at Northwest Missouri State, because I did receive a minor in possession leaving a house party. I was standing next to my car waiting on somebody to pick us up who never showed up. Turns out that guy wasn't a very good roommate. We learned that after the fact.
Right.
But the cops pulled up and they're like, hey, we smell alcohol on you. And like, are you getting ready to drive? And I'm like, no, officer, actually, I locked my own keys in my car on purpose so that I wouldn't. And he didn't seem to care that much.
What do we think about this? If you are being honest, and I wonder if this is going to fall along generational lines. And then when we get back, I have a story that someone very close to me had an incident that went the other way, where there was an arrest, and I'm going to tell you about that, and what does that teach kids?
913-586-7798. Ashley, downtown. Ashley, hello.
Hey, guys. I love what these officers did. I don't know about taking a picture with the kids, but I love it. It was the way that we lived in Boonville. We had officers that were like that in our town. It not only teaches the kids that, look, you made a mistake. Everybody's going to drink before they're 21. We make it such a big deal that you have to be 21 to drink that everybody wants to know, well, what's the big deal? So everybody's going to do it. Let's give these kids some grace and remember where we were as teenagers, and maybe possibly they will be a little bit more responsible about it. You know, it was one of the blessings that came out of me being an alcoholic. I don't know that either of my children will ever drink because of my alcoholism, and I thank God for that. If that's something to come out of it, then great, I'll suffer it.
Ashley, good call. Thank you for it. Thank you. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright. Logan Weber filling in for Sam Stevie. He is back tomorrow. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
So, do you wonder if anyone is going to drink underage now? They're going to do it in Wabunsee County. Party in Wabunsee County!
Well, if you don't get busted, then you run the risk of having to drive your car home, and then, God forbid.
Right.
So you almost have to want to get busted.
Right. Joking aside, you know, please be careful out there. Please be careful out there. I do want to share this story because this happened several years ago. Four, if I had to guess, 3 to 4 years ago. And while the officer involved was doing what was legal, I'm still upset that it happened, okay? Right. One of our young people, I think on break from college, maybe freshman to sophomore age, was home for break and was in the neighborhood and didn't want to drive home. And for whatever reason, you know, didn't have a ride, didn't have a safe ride. It was a few blocks from home. He walked. And I'm going to share this story because none of us knew that this could end up being a thing. He did the right thing. He walked. Okay. Yeah. We should be applauding that. He was pulled over and given an MIP on foot. What? He was pulled over on foot and given an MIP.
Did he have alcohol in his possession?
He did not.
Then he's going to walk from that.
He had alcohol in his breath. You know, beer smells. You can smell beer.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're, you know, 20 years old or 19 and an officer says to you, have you been drinking? You know, you don't want to lie.
Yeah, you do.
But it's like, I'm walking home. Like, my house is here. Here's my driver's license. Mom and dad are home. I'm home from break. That is one example of when I think police got it very, very wrong. Because the message you're sending is what? Drive home? This was just on a sidewalk, walking home, Scott. I mean, and I'm still so mad that that happened.
Theoretically could have got him on public intoxication.
Walking home? But not publicly intoxicated. He wasn't wasted. He was just walking home.
Well, I understand, but if he was drunk enough that he shouldn't be driving, and so he's walking. Theoretically, and I actually agree with you, so don't get me wrong. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here for a second. The officer could have got him if he wanted to get him on something, on public intoxication, but minor in possession, he's... what?
It was because...
Where's the beer? In my belly?
Yes, it was when you said, yes, I've had a couple of beers, and you're 20. We were told that is theoretically minor in possession.
Oh,
I was furious.
See,
because how many people, you know, walk through backyards and what in your neighborhood where you've lived 20 years, Scott, in your, like, think about your subdivision,
right,
where you're crossing through a couple of backyards just to walk home as a much safer alternative to driving. Left his car there, as he should have. I'll go get it tomorrow. Still got the MIP.
So he's behaving illegally, technically, I guess.
Oh, come on. Jaywalking's illegal.
I understand. But he's actually being responsible.
Yes.
Even in his altered state of mind, he's being responsible and not getting behind a missile that could kill somebody, destroy a family of four. And the cop gives him a ticket for minor in possession.
Correct.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So there's an important distinction. So they have two different types of MIPs that they can hand out. Minor in possession, meaning you are in possession of alcohol, or minor in possession by consumption.
That's what
meaning,
it was.
Yes,
that's
meaning
what it
you
was.
Have drank.
That's
that
what
was,
it was.
That was the MIP that I got. So myself and my roommate, we had just left a house party after a Northwest football game, and we were standing in a park. And the officers, they're, you know, justification for why they came into the park was that it had closed at midnight, and so you weren't technically supposed to be in there.
That was the reason they stopped you.
And so they pulled into the park, and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're waiting on a ride. And they're like, well, we smell alcohol on you. Can you come over to the car?
So let me tell you this, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but one of the things I have learned over, you know, I'm not super wise, but I've been around the block a few times, and I have many friends who are attorneys, and they will tell you, the cities bring in so much revenue on cases like this. It is revenue. I'm not saying officers are out there trolling for kids walking home and trying to be safe. However, there is very much a financial aspect to those cases, Scott. The court ordered, you know, all of the court ordered things that you have to do. You have to hire an attorney. You have to pay the fees,
community service,
all of that stuff over walking home. I just remember being furious that that happened. But there is a revenue arm and aspect to the judicial system. There just is.
Which is wrong.
I don't disagree.
Which is wrong.
It's like the speed trap in small towns.
That's exactly right.
They get, you know, 80% of their revenue because you're speeding through the town.
And God bless Shawnee. I'm probably going to regret saying this tonight, because they're going to be looking for me on the way home. I could tell it was nearing the end of the month in Shawnee. You want to know why?
Did you get pulled over for seatbelt violation?
I did not. No. Scotty does not get pulled over ever, because Scotty is 10-2, 9-3, and goes the speed limit all the way home. I'm not going to be somebody's trophy.
Okay.
But you can always tell when it's the end of the month in Shawnee, because they are... And when I say everywhere, I mean
everywhere.
Yeah. You know, they're going down every street.
1,000%. Do you remember a few years ago, the town of Mosby, Missouri?
Yes.
Between Excelsior Springs and Liberty. Sugar Creek's another one.
And so is Riverside.
Yes. And that's where I grew. I grew up in that area. So when I would come to Liberty or Kansas City, that's the road I would take, was Highway 69 to 35 in Liberty. And they got in trouble. They were writing so many speeding tickets that they closed their police department. It's a town of like 80 people. They had like six officers, and they were writing 400 or 500 tickets a month.
So I think the courts have ruled on this in some places, and they have said you cannot rake in over a certain percent of your entire budget by trapping people, but
it is trapping.
Because what people will say, Scott, and this is true, well, speeding's illegal, you shouldn't speed. Right. Oh, okay. But you can look back on this historically in certain towns, and I'll go find the case.
Oak Grove was one a couple years ago.
It is just like the most wonky, out of whack percentage of budget based on popping people in that town.
And what they end up doing, and it's tricky, is let's say, for example, you're driving eastbound on I-70 out of Kansas City. The speed limit is what, 70, 75? I don't know. you roll into Oak Grove at the time, and it immediately drops down to like 55 or 60 on the highway. And they're just waiting for you at that 60.
Yep.
Well, you come rolling into town going 70 because you're on I-70.
Right.
And you roll into Oak Grove, and I think it was Oak Grove. If I'm wrong, I apologize. And all of a sudden, boom, we're 10 miles an hour less. And they're waiting for you because now we got you going 72 and a 60. And we're going to write you a ticket. Mission, the city of Mission, before Ben Hadley became the police chief here, and he was a great police chief.
Used to do the same thing.
Mission was notorious for being a speed trap. And they would nab you on Johnson Drive. They would nab you on Shawnee Mission Parkway. They would get you for the lamest of lame. And I remember the day that Ben Hadley, you know Ben.
Yeah.
I remember the day that Ben Hadley became the police chief because you and I were very critical of the way that Mission treated people that drove through their city because they had two major thoroughfares, Johnson Drive and Shawnee Mission Parkway. And let's be honest, a little bit of I-35. And they were just brutes when it came to writing speeding tickets. And I'll never forget the day that Ben Hadley became the chief of police. He was waiting for you and me down in the lobby.
Yep.
And he sat us down in two chairs down in the lobby, and he said, "Those days are over." And he was right. And he changed the public stereotype that was the city of Mission and its police department, which was to get everybody and anybody on something as lame as you did not turn on your right turn signal at that stop sign. Your car did not come to a complete 100% stop at that stop sign. Give me a break. Sean in Warrensburg. Hello, Sean.
Hello. It's ironic that you're talking about it because I was working at a small school called Climax Springs down by Lake of the Ozarks.
Yes.
And I had learned that Missouri has a law on the books, and it's called the Max Creek Law.
I just looked it up, Sean. Max Creek, that is the name of the law that caps the percentage at 30% of any city's annual general operating revenue. And the law is named after the town of Max Creek, which faced financial difficulties due to over-reliance on traffic fines. It could sink a town, Sean.
That's exactly right. It's such a small town. It's a town like 800, and we played and we were rivals. And that's what they were doing. They were doing speed traps, law enforcement pullovers, didn't stop, broken taillight, everything under the sun. And it funded their entire revenue stream for their police department, and they got popped for it. And because of that, they're infamous now, just like a certain town outside of Kansas City, Lone Jack, and
Lone Jack. I said Oak Grove, and you're right. It was Lone Jack. That's right.
But Sean, now it makes sense to me why they say, you know, not only do we need to cap it because you don't want, you know, officers going after people for the wrong reasons, but because Max Creek apparently relied so heavily on speed traps and other things for the revenue, Scott, that to your point, at the end of the month, if they were short $100,000 or whatever, they start then frantically. It really makes it this model where at the end of the month, there's this frantic
Don't call it a quota. Well, it's a performance initiative.
Get out there and start making some money because we're short this month. And you can't have a city relying on revenue based on whether or not someone happens to break the law.
So in Max Creek, Missouri, which is in the south central part of the state, they had the speed limit inside the unincorporated town was 45 miles per hour, strictly enforced. The highway, once you got outside of the city, was 55. So just like what Lone Jack would do on I-70, you know, it's 70 miles an hour until you get into the city limits, and then it's 60, strictly enforced. So you're cruising into Max Creek at 55 miles per hour.
Right.
All of a sudden, you see the sign 45, boom, you're automatically 10 miles over, and they strictly enforce it. Somebody says, when you have a law named after your town, that is not a good thing. By the way, in Max Creek, 85% of the town's revenue at one point was funded by speeding tickets. The law in Missouri lowered that to 45%.
As it should.
Of total revenue from speeding tickets. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
It is time to get with my team at UMB Private Wealth Management, especially if you are looking at the wonky markets lately and thinking, ooh, what has that done to my retirement? They will teach you how to keep calm and carry on at UMB Private Wealth. Put yourself in the driver's seat of your financial future. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you are eyeing those retirement accounts and wondering, what do I do? It is time to go to umb.com/private wealth. Keep calm, carry on, and contact my team there. Schedule your appointment today. Go to umb.com/private wealth now.
Coming up after 4 o'clock, the American film that Steven Spielberg, who's made some great American films, says is the greatest American film of all time.
I disagree.
And it's not one of his.
Because it's Jaws, clearly. And he did not think it was.
And he made Jaws and...
Gonna need a bigger boat.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Dave in Independence. Dave, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I was calling about the Max Creek deal.
Okay.
There was an individual that personally paid for a lighted billboard on the west side of Max Creek about a mile out from the speed zone, warning everyone about the speed trap. And I believe what caused them to close the police station down was because they were pocketing the ticket money. If so, they, you could probably find that in the records. But I'm pretty sure that they were stealing the money. That's why they were so hard on the tickets.
Huh. Okay, I did not see that in the story that I read, but I'll look into it a little bit further. Tamara in Leawood, good afternoon. Hello.
Yes, I was just calling to give you a different way to look at this minor in possession that that kid got.
Sure.
We have a really serious problem with children and alcohol right now. If they do not do anything, these kids do not learn. So this kid will probably be hit with a lot of fines and stuff, but he'll get out of it. But it's going to teach him, hey, this is not right. What's going to happen next time when he drinks too much and he doesn't have that, oh, I better not drive, and he does drive? We've got to stop this alcohol problem that we have with these young kids. And I think every time an officer sees a kid who has been drinking, is under the age, they get a ticket. They get charged.
Well, Tamara, I don't mean to disagree with you, but I'll play the devil's advocate for a moment. Alcohol usage among teenagers in America is down drastically compared to when you and I were children.
Oh, sure. Because we always got away with it.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I think that's part of it.
We would get pulled over. The police would take our alcohol or our pot, whatever, and say, all right, go home. Even though we were drunk, they'd send you on home in your car.
I don't recall. Well, you may have had it, but I didn't.
So, I mean, times have changed. Times have definitely changed. So, yeah, they are down from then, but we still have a problem. You have to admit, we have a problem. And to just tell them, that's why we didn't learn back in the day, because I always thought, oh, they'll just send me on my way. You never got punished. You never got penalized. So you just kept doing it.
Well, you turned out all right, didn't you?
I did, but by the grace of God.
Okay.
And another thing, as far as mission, I work on Johnson Drive. You should see how bad it is with people speeding through there. I guarantee you, if you sat there in your car and you just watched day after day from 9 to 5, I see at least twice somebody almost getting killed because they're trying to cross the street and a car doesn't see those yellow lights flashing saying, hey, crossing, and they just about hit them every single time.
Okay. Tamara, I don't disagree with her, but I will tell you there are so many crosswalks on Johnson Drive now.
What's at every intersection?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot, but she must drive down a different Johnson. I drive down Johnson Drive every single day, and I don't see people driving like fools on Johnson Drive in Michigan.
We might have to bring this back when we get back. Last night on Shawnee Mission Parkway, on my way home, rush hour traffic, I saw the same thing again, just up here, where it is essentially a highway, and there are a couple of guys on the side of the road trying to frogger across Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Oh, you're talking about just west of the
Yes, to get
trip.
From one side to the other. Yeah. What are you doing? Are they auto people? They're yes. about to be smushed like a bug people.
Yeah, they're coming over from the tinting store, and I don't know if they're running over to Quick
yes,
Trip.
Yes, right
or,
there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
you
about.
You are trying to dart across a highway in rush hour traffic. No, they need to put one of those bridges over it so people can cross over it like they do for the animals. I'm serious. I'm telling Mission Police, get on it.
That's Overland Park, by the way.
Whatever.
Okay. 913-586-7. A bridge?
Yes.
For humans?
Yes.
What about the squirrels?
Why can't they just go down to the stoplight? It's a ways. It's a walk.
You just answer your own question. 913-586-7798. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.